rather in the Word of God, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter, and we read from verse 10. We're currently studying Luke in our morning worship, and we're come this morning to the well-known story of the lady who was bowed down in the synagogue. Luke 13 and verse 10. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. Amen. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. To his name be the honor and the praise. It has often been said that Luke is the champion and the apostle of womankind. And certainly Luke has much to say about Christ's compassion to women folk and the worth of the ladies in the eyes of Christ is something that rises to the surface in Luke's gospel in a way in which it does not in the other three gospels. And so you find in Luke's gospel that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is given a prominence that she's not given in the other three gospels. The Magnificat, the Song of Mary, is found only in Luke's gospel. Anna, the prophetess, who spent all her latter years in the temple waiting for the Lord's Messiah, the consolation of Israel, is mentioned only in Luke's gospel in chapter 2. The long story of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, takes up nearly 2 chapters at the start of Luke's gospel, and in fact is found nowhere else. Mary is commended in chapter 10 for having chosen the better part by sitting at the Master's feet. The raising of the widow of Nain's son, her only son, and therefore her only means of support and help. The story of the woman who was a sinner and came off the street and washed Christ's feet. The parable of importunate prayer exemplified in the widow who was persistent with the judge. The woman with the hemorrhage who touched the hem of Christ's garment. All these women are found in Luke's gospel. Luke is the champion and the apostle of womankind. And the reason for that is not hard to seek. Luke was a doctor. St. Paul calls him the beloved physician. And in that world of limited medical help, Luke would have understood the problems of women folk, and his heart as a doctor would have gone out to them in compassion and in understanding. There's a great care for the ladies in Luke's gospel. And the lady in our story this morning, the woman who was bent double in the house of God, is just such an object of care and concern. I would like to suggest to you this morning that this famous story is in fact richer than meets the eye. And we must not be tempted to take the story at its surface meaning. Do not judge it by its superficial appearance. For in fact, in this story of the woman who was bent double in the house of God, there are several deep and significant layers of meaning. And the first thing that needs to be said is this. We are told that the lady was bent double with some kind of spinal deformity. And the fact that she was bent double has been regarded by Christian scholars throughout the years as being of symbolic importance. And the lady, in fact, is a parable of humanity without Christ. This is what it means to be a sinner, to be bent double, facing downwards, with your gaze to the earth and the things of the earth. You may recall that in the book of Ecclesiastes, the preacher says that God made man upright. The verse is this: God hath made man alone upright. Man was created by God to walk tall and to stand erect and to face God. And in his original estate, that was how man was, walking tall and standing erect and facing God. One of the Roman poets puts it like this: God gave to man a lofty countenance and bade him scan the heavens and raise his face to front the stars. God made man to stand up and walk straight. And Augustine, in his commentary on the Psalms, puts it like this: he who listens to God's command, lift up your heart, does not have a bowed back. For those who do not see the hope of a future life, think of things of earth below. And that is what it means to have a bowed back, from which disorder the Lord delivered that woman. In other words, this lady is a parable of humanity, bent over under its load of guilt and shame and sin, staring at the dust and preoccupied with the earth. And this is what it means to be outside Christ. And there is a certain truthful ring in the words in verse 11, where we read that she was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And that is mankind without Christ, bent over and unable to straighten itself. I wonder if there's anyone in church here today who has come to worship in that estate. Are you bent over this morning and unable to straighten yourself? You've tried hard in the past, but however hard you've tried, you cannot get yourself to walk tall, walk straight, walk erect, and look God in the face. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. She's a parable of what it is to be without Christ. Second thing is this, that in spite of this, and notwithstanding her bowed down condition, Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. Verse 16, ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? And in that great expression, Christ salutes her as a child of God and a daughter of Zion, part of the family, standing in the line of grace. Of course, she was bowed down, bent over, and crushed. But she was a daughter of Abraham, and she was in the synagogue worshiping. And that too is a parable of humanity. As sinners in the sight of a holy God, we are all bowed down, bent double, laden with the guilt of our past and the shame of the wrong things we've done. But God did not intend you to be like that. Even in all his fallenness, man is destined to be a child of God, a son of Abraham, a daughter of Zion. She was bowed down and crushed, but she was a child of God. And I think there's a certain irony in the difference between Christ's esteem of this lady and the value set on her by the hypocrites in the synagogue. You may recall that these hypocrites rebuked Jesus and berated him for healing on the Sabbath. And Jesus reminded them that they themselves apparently saw nothing wrong in loosing their oxen and their asses to water them on the Sabbath. In verse 15, the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, who is a daughter of Abraham, be loosed on the Sabbath day?" And according to Jesus, the heart of their hypocrisy was this, that they thought more of their animals than they did of this poor, broken woman. The oxen and the asses and the donkeys were watered on the Sabbath. But this lady, in her common, needy humanity, was of no interest to them at all. And if I may say so here, there are still people in the world who think more of their animals than they do of human need. And there are folk still alive today, like these hypocrites, who thought more of their donkeys than they did of the woman. I recall 10 years ago quoting a figure to the effect that in the previous year, Britain spent more on budgie seed than it gave to all the Christian medical missions on the field today. So apparently, people think more of budgies than they do of needy, starving, dying humanity. And if it was like that 10 years ago, how much worse is it today? I recall reading a story recently of a lady down south who had lost her son during the war when he was shot down over Germany in the Second World War. She refused to believe that he was dead. And she started hoarding up money for his homecoming, but he never came home. And eventually she faced the fact that he'd gone forever, and she became a recluse. And when she died, she left £250,000 for the welfare of cats and dogs. What a scandal. What an outrage against God and man. £250,000 for cats and dogs. Think of the good that could have been done with all that money. Think of the babies and the children who could have been helped with all that money. Did you know that last year in the Church of Scotland, the average givings per member per week were less than the price of a tin of chum or whiskers or pal? These men thought more of their donkeys than they did of this poor lady. And that was their esteem of her. But Jesus called her a daughter of Abraham, a child of God, an heir of salvation, and one of God's family. Have you ever suspected that although you may be bowed down in church today and bent double in God's house, maybe because of your past, you too might become a daughter of Abraham or a child of God? You know, the Bible assures us that we are of far greater importance in the eyes of God than donkeys. Indeed, the Bible tells us that the stars and the planets and the galaxies are of no value compared to the value of man. Have you ever thought that bowed as you are and bent double as you are, one day you might become a child of God? And the third thing is this. Jesus does not say that the woman needs to be healed. He says that she needs to be loosed. And that's a different matter. Verse 16. Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? You see, in the Gospels, generally speaking, four categories of people came to Jesus for special help. First of all, you had the sick, the folk who were blind, deaf, cripple, epileptics, people with physical illnesses, and they needed to be healed, and Jesus healed them. Secondly, there were the lepers. They were regarded as being in a category of their own. Leprosy in the Bible is not viewed as a disease, because leprosy was a special thing. It was seen as a type and a picture of human sin. It was invasive. It was deadly. And lepers were not healed by Jesus. They were cleansed. Thirdly, there were the demoniacs, men and women who had been taken over by sinister, evil powers of darkness, and whose lives were tormented and torn apart by Satan. Jesus did not heal them. He did not cleanse them. He exorcised them. And fourthly, there were the maniacs, people who nowadays would be described as mentally ill, those who had lost the light of reason, people who were confused and demented. We do not read of Jesus healing them, nor did he cleanse them, nor did he exorcise them. He restored them to reason and dignity and humanity. But this lady comes into a special category. She isn't sick. She's not a leper. She's not a demoniac. She's not a maniac. Jesus says she has been bound by Satan for 18 years. And what she needed was not healing, nor cleansing, nor exorcism, nor restoration. What she needed was loosing, deliverance, and emancipation from her bond. She was bent double, bowed down, because of Satan. and she needed to be freed and loosed from that. I wonder if that rings a bell today in someone's head. Bowed down, cast down, bent double by Satan. There is a great deal of this today. Do you remember how later on in the book of Acts, Luke tells us the story of how Peter came to Cornelius, the Roman centurion, with the good news of the gospel in Acts chapter 10. And in the course of events, Peter gives a resume of the ministry of Jesus. This is what Peter says: God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Oppressed by the devil. Not sick, not lepers, not demoniacs, not maniacs. Oppressed by the devil. Actually, the Greek word, well, you'll recognize part of it if you watch television. Kata dynastuo, dynasty. Kata against, dynastuo, a dynasty. Oppressed by the devil, a dynasty against you. It really means to exercise dominion against someone. Kata dynastuo, a dynasty against you, a pressure, a kingdom, an influence, pushing you down until, like this lady, you are bowed down and bent double in the house of God, and you cannot straighten yourself. I wonder if that rings a bell today. Well, Jesus came in and he touched her and he lifted her up and he straightened her out and he set her free. And if that is your case this morning, bound by Satan, bent double by Satan, what Jesus did for her, he can do for you. Do you believe that? Can I quote from a sermon preached by St. Augustine on Christmas Day over 1,500 years ago? And this is what Augustine says. This woman presents to us a pattern of the crookedness of the whole human race. But in this woman, our Lord, who was born today, he was preaching on Christmas Day. In this woman, our Lord was born today, loosed from the bonds of Satan those who were bound, and gave us freedom to look at things above, that we who once walked sorrowfully, fixed in sadness, by receiving the physician who comes to us today, may truly rejoice. That's great. By receiving the physician who comes to us today, we who once walked sorrowfully, fixed in sadness, may truly rejoice. in two consecutive psalms, David rejoices in the fact that God can make you straight. Listen, Psalm 145 and verse 14, the Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Psalm 146 and verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Well, if that isn't good news, I don't know what is. Amen. May God add a blessing to the preaching of his word. To his name be honor and praise. Hymn number 86, in closing. Thine arm, O Lord, in days of old, was strong to heal and save. It triumphed o'er disease and death, o'er darkness and the grave. Hymn number 86.